Is this the last chance for LastPass? Windows 10 is the last version of Windows you'll ever see. What's that? We're working on Windows 12. And we got the dish on the latest breaches. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the March 3rd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
I am in the yellow. I'm doing awesome today. You're back from Dallas. We're entering a new month of March. I've got awesome stuff to talk about. Talk to me. What about you? How are you doing?
I get to see you in person in a few weeks in Chicago. Can you,
it's going to be weird.
And with all of our friends, Juan Fernandez, we get to see all of our friend Marnie Stockman. We get to see all of our friends there. I can't wait. It should be awesome. Fun. Yeah.
CompTIA. Everyone should be registered.
CompTIA. If you're not a CompTIA member, please go join CompTIA. Come on. And if you're an MSP, if you join CompTIA, you get free access to the ISAO. So it's a no-brainer. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. What are we talking about today?
So the banter topic. So we talked earlier, and this is a Phil thing, with the when I talked about Bing going crazy, the Sydney thing, telling the user that they understood the year better than the user did. Now Bing is letting you change the chatbot's personality so it can be more entertaining. You can choose between creative, balanced, and precise modes for responses. Creative is original and imaginative. Balanced is kind of the default, and precise is basically meat and potatoes, just get right to the point. Tony, if you had to choose, like, what kind of responses were you going to get? I know I would choose, like, creative. Like, get real spicy with me. I think it's freaking fantastic. What about you? What would you choose?
Has anyone seen Interstellar? I mean, you've seen Interstellar.
Yeah,
I love that movie. And so when they have the robots, like, hey, what's your humor setting? You know, it's, you know, 80%. Why don't you turn that down to 70%? Okay, knock, knock. You want 50%? Like you want, you know, like, you, but the sarcasm, what's your truth setting? 95%. Yes. Like, what, like, why isn't it 100%? No one wants 100%. So, like,
I want that AI that's going to be like, well, I'm going to give you the same answer I gave you the last three times you asked me. And like, I just want that. I, like, you know, so if you're an MSP, and I have a feeling most MSPs are going to go for the hot and spicy, right? Like, we're not the vanilla group. MSPs like the fun. as I say, I'm in it for the lols. But if you're an MSP and you have this option, put it down in the chat below. Let us know, what would you pick? I can almost see Kerry Wagner already say he's going for hot and spicy. I know Kerry.
Hot and spicy. Now,
why don't we get into some news stuff, man?
Let's get in some news. And coming in hot and spicy from my first story. LastPass says employee's home computer was hacked and the corporate vault was taken, straight from ArsTechnica.com. Already hurting from a breach that put partially encrypted login data into the threat actor's hands, LastPass on Monday said that the same attacker hacked an employee's home computer and obtained a decrypted vault available only to a handful of company developers. Although an initial intrusion to LastPass ended on August 12th, officials of the leading password manager said the threat actor was, quote, actively engaged in a new series of reconnaissance, enumeration, and exfiltration activity from August 12th to August 26th. This was accomplished by targeting DevOps home computer and exploiting a vulnerable third-party media software package named Plex, which we'll get into in just a moment, to implant a keylogger malware. The threat actor was able to capture the employee's master password as it was entered after the employee authenticated with MFA and gain access to the DevOps engineer's LastPass corporate vault. And the vault gave access to a shared cloud storage environment that contained encryption keys for customer vault backups stored in Amazon S3 buckets. According to a person briefed on a private report from LastPass who spoke on the condition of anonymity, the media software package that was exploited on the company's computer was Plex. Interesting, Plex has reported its own network intrusion on August 24th, just 12 days after the second incident commenced. It's not clear if Plex was connected to the LastPass intrusion, and representatives of LastPass and Plex didn't respond to emails coming from the story. Ray, this may go on longer than the initial 5 minutes, and I'm really sorry about that, but Plex, tell me your thoughts. I'm getting hit from every single angle. Talk to me.
It feels like Groundhog Day. So here's where I'm going to kill Phil. So remember when we covered LastPass previously, including the special report? True story. Somebody asked me, I was covering the story again. I was talking to somebody about the story this week before we covered it, obviously. And I said, and they were saying, you know, why shouldn't I use LastPass? And I literally went to the MMN YouTube channel, put the search term of LastPass, and just showed the full page of results of stories we've done on LastPass, including the special report. And all I can say is this, at this point, I know we're supposed to be unbiased. I know we're supposed to be impartial. But if you're an MSP still using LastPass, with the exception of you're in the middle of migrating off, why the fuck are you still using LastPass? Like, Jesus, like, you know what I mean? This is ridiculous to me. This is absolutely, like, the lack of operational security, which is a shame, because Steve Gibson from Gibson Research Company Security Now, he reviewed LastPass security probably 8-9 years ago before the purchase. And it was actually really good. This is not a flaw in the security of the software itself. It's a flaw in the people that are developing the software. Time and time again, it was they got breached because of their practices, not because of the security of the software. So forget what kind of encryption they're using. Forget how they're storing the vault. Forget the fact that you can actually exfiltrate metadata, including website, login name, and all that. Even without decrypting the vault, that's a whole other argument, because that is possible. But these are people doing the wrong things. And it goes back to the supply chain conversations we've had. The software security is one thing. The operational security is a whole other thing. And LastPass has proven over and over and over again. And I hate to extrapolate this to their parent company, but you kind of have to look at it. You know, they have overlords there, right? They have their bosses. You kind of have to wonder, does this extend into the parent company too? And I'm not trying to do the Chicken Little, the world is falling, the sky is falling, all that nonsense. But this terrifies the shit out of me.
You know, well, one of the things, and I know we're going over our time, and I apologize, but I specifically and repeatedly and consistently said, as a former, we'll just call them one of those guys that exploited data.
One of those.
I want to use the H
National
word.
Shady of America guys.
I know for a fact that I would have not, if you found a hack from me, if you found an exploited entry point, congratulations, you found one of many. Good job. You should probably just plug that up and then I'm gone. Oh no, I'm not gone. I am white on rice. I'm all over the place. And the article clearly says that, hey, this person was actively doing reconnaissance and exploitations. They discovered it on August 12th, all the way through August 26th. They were the same threat actor. And I said very specifically when the first attack occurred, even from the source code, I said, well, that is the keystone to an avalanche of future activity. And there were some negative comments. I'm just going to be blunt about that. You don't know that, Tony. What are the odds?
But that's exactly what it was last week. That's exactly what last week's, and it sucks that we're covering this weekly, but that's exactly what it was. They thought they had cleaned it. They thought they got everything, and there were still remnants where the actors still had access, and the access was far more widespread than originally thought. So every time we get into the whole nuke and pave, like, you know, determine the source of the action, you know, the ingress and all that stuff, determine the scope of what was exfiltrated and what was accessed. But at the end of the day, nuke and pave, turn that into glass, please, because this is ridiculous. Leaving it open, especially if you're a security company, no bueno.
Oh, man, I thank you. So the good news is that I think maybe we can get the security industry or the personnel to be influenced. We'll just call them best practices. Nuke and pave. I love that. That's whew, that it stings, but I like it. I like it. That's my setting level on that AI. I want better. So getting them to adopt that is critical. I really hope they listen to this. I hope it resonates with someone out there. But not every company is having such an easy time getting people to adopt new things, right? Right.
You know, it would be easier to adopt if we'd stop changing things. And that was what the Windows 10 promise was, right? It was the last Windows. Well, in my second top story, Microsoft is already working on Windows 12, despite struggles pushing users to embrace Windows 11, written by Sharon Bennett for MSPowerUser.com. Microsoft may be planning to release Windows 12 in 2023, according to a leaked tweet by Windows enthusiast at Leaf Hobby that suggests Intel's new chipset will support the new OS. Even though reports say that Microsoft will release a new Windows version every 3 years, this is still subject to change. However, Microsoft has not confirmed this yet and may change its roadmap depending on the market share of Windows 11, which is still low compared to Windows 10. Data by StatCounter shows that compared to Windows 10, 73.25% market share, Windows 11 only owns 19.13% of the desktop Windows market worldwide. Microsoft will end support for Windows 10 in 2025, which could boost the adoption of Windows 11 and pave the way for Windows 12. But Tony, we know there's still Windows 7 users out there. Especially when
I haven't gone there yet. I'm still Windows 95. So I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, as long as what was it? 95 brought USB support or was it 98 SE2 or one of those? And especially like we look at the embedded, you look at the embedded ones that are still running XP. You look at some of these like really expensive machinery ones, CNC machines still running older version of Windows and have no chance in the world because it literally costs millions of dollars to upgrade one machine. Or in some cases, the manufacturer's out of business at this point. But those are the edge cases, right? Hopefully, possibly. And they're air gapped and, you know, completely away from the internet, hopefully. But Windows 7, there's still a lot out there. I know many MSPs still paying ESU updates for their clients. Why do you think – so here's what I want to know. Why do you think Windows 11 adoption is so low?
Change. No one likes change. I mean, everybody is in this constant search for predictability, and it fascinates me because you can have simple or secure as that common choice, but you really, really, really want scalability, and you can't have scalability without autonomy. So what's happening here is the autonomy of having something that is entirely predictable, locked into place, in their mind, leads to scalability. Well, that's scalability from a management perspective to a point until you're, you know, constantly funding the extended service agreements from Windows ME. But at the end of the day, the evolutionary process requires thought. It requires vision. It requires the operational underpinnings for the rip and replace. And then what happens if, and no one likes hope as a strategy, what happens if certain core applications don't work, which requires testing and due diligence? Everything I just said right there is very feasible, but no one wants to take the ownership of that. Yet, the irony, everyone is devastated and they're constantly avoiding the we'll call it probability of a problem. It's that that analogy or that's expression that everybody is born with the weight of death on their shoulders, yet they're completely unprepared and surprised when it's coming. It is fascinating to me that security risks are so abundant at this point that you should be aspiring to have not just the next generation of, we'll call it upgraded software and security measures, but you're constantly aspiring to upgrade your processes and your formulaic approach to maintaining and managing and implementing the next generation of X, the next generation of X, Y, and Z. Those can be shuttered, but the evolution of your process, your framework of how you move forward with that implementation, that's what you should be working on. And no one seems to be working on, they don't even seem to be addressing it. I maybe I'm going off my rant here, Ray, but that's what I see.
No, to me, it was just a matter of my start bar was over here and then I upgraded 11. Now it's in the middle. That's the win. And Microsoft does this to themselves, right? They're the classic TikTok, just like Intel was. One version's great, next version sucks. Next version's great, next version sucks, right? Look at Vista. Look at Windows Millennium, right? Where we had powerhouses like 7 and XP. 2000 was rock solid. I'd still be running 2000 today if I could, if I get updates. I will say I was an early adopter of 11. It is easier for MSPs to do this, especially when you're focusing on SME. Once you get into enterprise and you're deploying to thousands of desktops, a little harder. And Microsoft does this to themselves, right? I will say, I like Windows 11. Windows 10 was good. Windows 8 was a crapshoot until, you know, H2. And they got rid of that Metro crap. But, you know, Windows 11 has been solid. But they did all the nonsense with the TPM and V1, V2, and this could upgrade. And then it said it could upgrade, but it couldn't upgrade. And they made it more miserable on the IT people that are the ones really deploying this, right? I think it was Carl Palachuk or Dave Sobel that said, or Ryan Morris, I forget who, on their last episode of Killing It, that said IT service providers account for less than 2% of the worldwide population, but affect 90% of business, right? So cater to them, Microsoft. Make sure we can do our damn jobs.
No, you're just being reasonable. Who are you?
Yeah, so I'm going to go install Windows 12. Just kidding. You know what I am going to do? I want to hear the dish on the next story, man.
And there is quite a bit to dish out. Dish Network confirms a ransomware attack behind the multi-day outage. From bleepingcomputer.com, satellite broadcast provider and TV giant Dish Network has finally confirmed that a ransomware attack was the cause of a multi-day network and service outage that started on Friday. Customers have reported that the company's call center phone numbers were also unreachable. Dish Network first blamed the network and service outage on VPN issues, according to The Verge. However, as first reported by Bleeping Computer, an internal memo sent to Dish employees and seen stated that the outage was, quote, caused by an outside bad actor, a known threat agent. So unpacking this, Ray, I know we've never, ever talked about ransomware attacks. We've never talked about truth communication. We've never talked about that because, of course, what positive impact would that have from an organization to say, what's that Latin term? The truth. I it's just so foreign to me. Do you even know how to talk about this? We've never talked about this before.
This is a completely foreign concept. I think I'm going to go back to, Batman, right? I'm not going to talk about cocaine or heroin this time. I'm talking about Batman. And classic line from Batman Begins. It's not how often we fall down. It's how we get up that counts. When you have truth and transparency in what happens, it adds trust and credibility to your platform, even though you made a mistake. We said very early on, and going back to the LastPass conversation, we said very early on that the details they were giving didn't add up. It seemed like they were hiding things. you know, and it sucks. It sucks to say, hey, we screwed up, mea culpa, we could have done better. But honestly, you get a better impression with your clients when you do that. Honestly, I was sitting here waiting for the new drinking game of only your names, email addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, blood type, name of the firstborn, your middle name, and your first girlfriend were taken. But no sensitive information was taken. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that minimalization of the depth, the impact. But you know what I mean? Because it just seems like par for the course for everybody, like standard operating procedure. You know, say all these things and then make it sound like it's not a big deal, right? You know, at what point is the dark web just the web at this point? But I don't even know anymore. I don't use Dish, so I don't care. But like my social security number, I don't care anymore because I'm not going to have social security by the time I'm 70.
I feel like this is almost I want to say that there's going to be clearly negative publicity from this, but it's circular causation, and we know what's occurring. And in retrospect, maybe that's very clear to some. But since we do this all the time, we're anesthetized to we're talking about bad communication, no communication. We are comfortably numb to the understanding that there's going to be people that are causing issues inside the organization, which lead to anything from an exploitation somewhere to ransomware that releases that has a complete capture of an organization and their productivity and performance is hindered, all the way to non-critical information such as everything about all of their employees is released. But this is almost circular causation, and it's almost like we're watching a tennis game but they're playing without a net. There's no accountability. And I'm wondering when that is going to take place. I'm wondering when the empirical evidence becomes so blatant that there are going to be laws to regulate the impact of this. Now, I understand that there's financial repercussions and insurance is clearly going up, but that's affecting everyone. But for the powers that are in charge at this moment, and there are some mechanisms of governance that dictate a best practice for, but not necessarily a negative impact or financial monetary impact for communication of let's say a breach. But I feel like we're not seeing that across the board. There is no standard for that. And I think we're at the point now where everything is statistically significant. And I'm concerned how this is going to get any worse than it is.
But is that the answer though? I mean, we've seen this before. Governments trying to legislate this. What was it? Louisiana created the definition of MSP, but it was only in the context of those serving government.
Yes.
We have organizations like NSITSP, MSP Alliance tried this a while back. I'm in the camp. I think insurance companies are going to be the ones to kind of step in and because they have the teeth to do it, step in and legislate via the clients, right? Not via law, not via bills or anything like that, but by financial impact on the clients. And that in turn will push upstream, hey, IT service provider, this is costing me another $1,200 a year, $2,000, $5,000 a year, because we're not doing these things, and then forcing the MSP to do, or IT service provider to do these things for the client. And I think that will, in a much more slow fashion, but a much more holistic fashion, have a broader impact across the landscape. Government, let's be honest, Tony, do you ever speed? Actually, don't answer that. This is recorded. But you get what I'm saying. Like, laws only go so far. And if we've learned anything from the IRS and from laws, it's not the presence of laws. It's our judgment and determination of how the laws apply. And so it's like Section 230 we were talking about in this episode with Tom Lawrence. Those 26 words that built the internet, right? I don't think the laws are never going to be specific enough to have impact. And if they are too specific, they're going to have too broad of an impact. I think it needs to be done at the client level. And insurance, I think, is the best place to do it. MSPs, tell us below what you think. Argue with us. Talk back. We want to hear from you. I'd love to actually get an MSP on here to talk about this next week, yes, to give us their impression. So if you have an opinion, hit us up. on Discord or 833-MSP-Network. Leave us a voicemail or all the other million places. We'll tell you later. But for now, Tony, we got some notables?
We do.
In my first notable mention, Microsoft Power Toys adds paste as plain text and mouse jump tools, written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. Power Toys 0.68, an open source toolset enhancing Windows functionality, added two new utilities for Windows users, paste as plain text and mouse jump. Paste as plain text lets you copy and paste text without formatting in any app using the global shortcut Control-Shift-V. Although you can already paste clipboard contents using the shortcut, it does not work within native Windows apps. Mouse jump allows you to move the mouse pointer faster and easier across large or multiple screens, Windows plus Shift plus D. Once activated, the entire desktop will be shown as a thumbnail center on the mouse's pointer position. The feature could come in handy for users with ultra-wide monitors or multiple monitors to quickly move to specific desktop locations. The new PowerToys 0.68 version also comes with new GPO policies for update toast notifications and automatic downloads. I feel this one was written specifically for me. Thank you, Microsoft. In my second notable mention, OpenAI launches APIs for ChatGPT and Whisper, written by Mamuta Deb Chowdhury for Computer World. OpenAI has launched APIs for its ChatGPT and Whisper AI-powered transcription and translation service. The APIs will enable businesses to integrate ChatGPT and Whisper into their conversation platforms and will be cheaper than the company's existing language model. According to the company, it has achieved a 90% cost reduction for ChatGPT since December and will pass on those savings to API users. Whisper can transcribe and translate multiple languages into English and accept files in multiple formats. And ChatGPT API users can expect continuous model improvements and the option to choose dedicated capacity for deeper control over the models. Following the launch of Whisper in September and ChatGPT in November, OpenAI stated that it aims to provide cutting-edge AI capabilities to developers and businesses.
And coming in hot with my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Aruba Networks fixes 6 critical vulnerabilities in Aruba OS. The critical flaws addressed by Aruba this time can be separated into 2 categories: command injection flaws and stack-based buffer overflow problems in the PAPI protocol. That's PAPI. The command injection vulnerabilities are tracked as CVE-2023-22747, CVE-2023-22748, 22749, and 22750, with a CVSS V3 rating of 9.8 out of 10. That is not good. These flaws are exploited by sending specifically crafted packets to the PAPI over UDP port 8211, allowing authenticated remote attackers to run arbitrary code as privileged users in Aruba OS. Patch your stuff, people. And my next notable mention, from 9to5mac.com, Apple doubles its investment in its European Silicon Design Center. Apple announced a major expansion to its European Silicon Design Center, which will see the company creating a custom-designed, state-of-the-art R&D center in Germany. The iPhone maker previously announced plans for a 1 billion euro, that's approximately 1.06 billion US, European Center for Chip Design in Munich, and says it will be doubling its investment in the latest expansion plans. The company said that its Munich-based chip team has already contributed to, quote, breakthrough work on the M2 Pro and M2 Max chips, as well as cellular and power management functions. Naturally, the new facility will be 100% powered by renewable energy, as well as designed by LEED gold standards for sustainability. Interesting. This isn't the top rated available, which is platinum. Interesting to see what happens. That's a lot of evolution in the technology front. And for more in the AI roundup, we have more from Phil.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Phil Buck. And in today's AI roundup, we're going to be talking about the growing trend of major companies embracing AI technology in their offerings. In an article from The Verge by Alex Heath, Snapchat announced the addition of My AI, a ChatGPT-powered bot, as part of their Snapchat Plus subscription service. My AI is essentially the same experience as using ChatGPT, but a faster mobile version that lives natively in your Snapchat app. Notably, the bot has been trained by employees to adhere to the company's trust and safety guidelines. It will also decline to respond to requests about violence, sex, politics, and attempts to get it to do your homework. It's clear that Snapchat intends for users to engage with My AI just like any other person on your friends list. Snap CEO Evan Spiegel is quoted in the article saying, "The big idea is that in addition to talking to our friends and family every day, we're going to talk to AI every day." If you're a Snapchat Plus subscriber and you've tried out My AI, we'd love for you to tell us about your experience in the MMN Discord. And as companies keep adding AI tech to their offerings, I'm wondering what's next. ChatGPT in my air fryer?
Man, what you gonna put in it?
ChatGPT?
Put it in the air fryer.
And I'm Phil Buck for the MSP Media Network. That's it for today's AI Roundup. Let's check out some community events. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. March 5th through March 7th, an in-person event, Exchange, Orlando, Florida. March 8th through the 9th, another in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Forum in Washington, D.C. And also on March 8th, another in-person event, NextGen MSP Local in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, the Tech Bar Podcast, Episode 53 with Paco LeBron and Rick Smith of MSP Unplugged. And later today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 at 38, Episode 10 with Matthew F. Fox. And of course, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
What's going on, you beautiful people out there in Computerland? I am really happy to introduce to you my next guest on 38 at 38, Matt Fox. He's the creative director for MSP Media Network. Matt, what can we expect in this next episode?
I think you could expect a little bit of everything. I'd like to think of this episode as being like a Applebee's appetizer sampler platter of good and bad experiences in the workplace.
And TGIF all the way, right? Ruby Tuesdays? Oh.
Bennigan's?
We're having the Bennigan ultimate platter of the worst job stories. I like that.
And you know what? It's not going to come with any coleslaw. We're not going to get any kale or any of that nonsense. It's going to go back to the kitchen. Nope. Just give
get
us
out
the
of here.
Stuff.
And a Monte Cristo. The Monte Cristo, definitely. Love to see you guys tune in. It's going to be March 3rd. That's the first Friday in March. And see you then. Peace.
That's it. Friday, get your baby back ribs. Get in front of your screen. Watch us.
That's a good term, baby. Thank you. Thank you.
So how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it 3 times. Hell, hit it 6 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we talked about the last version of Windows that ever will be until the next last version of Windows. We talked about the latest last breach.
Let's just be honest. I mean, this is Groundhog Day, but in a fun way. It's not that. It's like you're developing. We're developing our skill sets, our interpersonal skills, our communication, our friendship, our relation, our history, which is based predominantly on ransomware hacks and it's always the same thing, but it's always entertaining.
But it is fun, and I hope we educate you, we entertain you, and we do something else with E. I'm failing in my vernacular. I apologize. Give me an E word, and we'll bring it up on the next episode. All I will say is take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Good morning and welcome to the March 3rd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm your Ray. I don't know my own name, but it doesn't stop me from talking. All right, let me start that again.
Already starting from a breach that partially encrypted login data from the... That's what you get when you copy and paste and coming in soft. Okay, hold on. Okay, but I wasn't on mute. Already smarting from a breach that partially encrypted login data. Put. One more time. Already smarting. You know, I'm not even saying smarting. Okay, here we go. Although an initial intrusion into LastPass ended on August 12th, officials with the leading password manager said the threat actor was, quote, actively engaged in a new series of reconnaissance. One more time. Sorry, Phil. Straight from bleepingcomputer.com, satellite provider, and dish giant.
It was black when it first did the screen share, so...
Okay, good. And with something to dish, Dish Network confirms a ransomware attack is behind the multi-day outage. Straight from bleepingcomputer.com, satellite broadcast provider, and TV dish... One more time.
In my first notable mention, Microsoft Power Toys adds paste as plain text and mouse jump tools. Written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. Power Toys... I said it right, and I still, my brain said I did it wrong.
Snap CEO Evan Spiegel is quoted in the article saying, the big idea is that in addition to talking about our friend,